Reading from Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 to 17. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each man too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals. All those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on the earth."
Thanks, Steve, for reading that to us. Keep those words open in front of you. Let me pray, and then let's have a think about this part of the story together. Father in heaven, we thank you again, as we've done on these Sunday evenings so regularly, but we thank you for preserving for us this story. Father, it is a weighty story, and it's often made light of perhaps in children's books, and perhaps even mocked in some ways by the world, but it is a weighty story, and we ask, Lord, that we'd both feel the weight of it tonight, but also the grace of it. Father, we want to tonight afresh understand just something of your character, your goodness in rescuing people, preserving people through judgment, from judgment. Father, please teach us, and please help us, encourage us where we're at tonight. May we see its relevance in our hearts and lives as we press on into the week ahead. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, Steve, for reading chapter 9. Nath, show over to you. Kind of what can we be learning? You know, we're considering this ancient story on Sunday nights. What could we be learning from what we've just heard from Genesis 9?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of places, you know, when I don't know what you picked up on as we went through Genesis 9. There's probably question marks that pop up, isn't there? You know, there's the importance of lifeblood that kind of comes up, animal blood, human blood. You know, some people dip into this and use this text as a kind of a thing about capital punishment, and we could spend a bit of time talking about that. But I just think it's so relevant, isn't it, at the moment? I want us to spend our time tonight thinking about the rainbow. I think not least because in this year of lockdown, we've spent a lot of time looking at rainbows. I think even just on my walk down to church here this evening, I probably counted about 10 rainbows, at least 10 rainbows, you know, stuck in people's windows or on banners on fences. And so I just think it's worth us tonight saying, okay, look, here's something that's been a big part of our last year. Why don't we look at that? It's right here in the Bible. There's the rainbow. Let's have a chat about it tonight.
Yeah, I concur. I mean, we've got rainbow in our window at the moment. Yep. I think it is literally stuck. It's been there for so long now. but everyone seems to be wanting the bit of the rainbow, I would say, wouldn't they? And you think of society, rainbow is kind of this symbol that's been taken to mean so many different things now. So this year, obviously, just in support of the NHS, which has been a good thing to support. Also, there's, you know, the rainbow's used by LGBT, for example. There's probably loads of other examples that people at home can think of and we could probably sit and think about. Now, sometimes, I'm sure, again, people at home might have thought or have heard of this as well, is it almost like a movement among some Christians to say we need to reclaim the rainbow. So given that it's come to mean so many different things, there's almost this movement to say, hey, we need to claim the rainbow back and kind of get to what it really means. So from what we've read tonight, from Genesis 9, can you help us to reclaim the rainbow, if that's the right way of putting it?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, everybody, like you put it, everyone wants a bit of the rainbow, don't they? Everyone kind of grabs this wonderful... I forgot I'd printed off one. Look at that. No expense spared. We can add that to our prop section.
Do you know all the colours?
No, I don't know the colours.
Nathan, Nathan's colourblind.
You're just taking the mick now.
Does it still look pretty to you?
It's very pretty. I just couldn't tell you what colours is on the rainbow.
Good. As long as you know it looks good.
Absolutely. It does look wonderful. And that's the point, isn't it? You know, everybody wants to claim a bit of the rainbow.
Yeah.
I just want to get us into the thinking tonight, saying, well, God put the rainbow there, and he put it there for a reason. We read it here. What does God want us to think when we see the rainbow? You know, lots of people want us to think about other things when we see the rainbow, but what does God want us to think when we see the rainbow? And I just want to give us two words, not to try and outdo this morning's two words, but let me just give you two words for what we are meant to think when we see a rainbow. And the two words are reassurance. So when we see the rainbow, it should reassure us of something. And rescue. So reassurance and rescue. And if I could just kind of take us through those two words from the story, we'll see how they sit in. So first word is reassurance. When a rainbow appears in the sky, we should be reassured about something. And now, if we're going to understand what the rainbow should mean to us, we actually first have to understand what it would have meant to Noah. So we kind of have to get ourselves back into the story and say, well, God gave it to Noah first, and when Noah saw it, he would have had a thought process. That's what I'm meant to remember. And so we have to get into the story. So just let's do that. Let's get back in. So we've got to remember that Noah and his family have just been brought through, and it must have been quite a horrific ordeal, really. They've been brought through judgment, rescued by God in this boat. And now they've kind of stepped off of this boat and they're standing in a new world, a new creation, just Noah and his family and the animals that they brought with them. And very quickly we begin to see that this world that Noah's stepped out into is not going to be a perfect world. So sure, you know, like the wickedness has been washed away, the people have been washed away. And we got a hint last time that, well, Noah still has a broken heart. But look at chapter 9, verse 1. He stands at the head of this new creation, and God says to Noah and his sons, he blessed them just like he does with Adam and Eve, and he says to them, just like he does to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Now, that's very kind of Adam and Eve language, but Noah is not fixed. So as soon as God says, be fruitful and increase and fill the earth, you kind of begin to think, well, what's he going to fill the earth with? Is it going to be any better than what was filling the earth before the flood? And then we start to see these features of the world that shows us that the world that Noah's going to fill is going to be no paradise. It's no Eden in that sense. And then we get up these things. So three F's. I know we've had two words, but here's three F's. So there's fear, there's food, and there's fighting. Okay, and this kind of shows us the kind of world this is going to be. So first of all, there's fear. Look at verse 2. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and on every creature that moves along the ground and all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. So fear and dread marks Noah's relationship to this new creation. Now that's new. That's not what it was with Adam and Eve. So this world isn't going to be a perfect world. We then see food. Look at verse 3. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you every green plant, I now give you everything. Now, I don't want to have a debate on vegetarianism or veganism or anything like that. I simply want to state that's new. That's a new development in this creation, that suddenly Noah is allowed to eat his fellow creatures. And then there's fighting. Again, just to mark this world that Noah's living in is not going to be a perfect world. So verse 6, you'll see it there. Verse 5. And from each human being too, I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. That implies, if God's saying that, that implies that just like Cain murdered Abel, it implies that the world is going to be filled with fighting. And so Noah's world, which is really the world we're living in today, it is still a broken world, isn't it? Fear, eating other fellow creatures and fighting, this murdering. It's still a world in which wickedness exists. And therefore, and sorry, this is quite a long-winded way to get there, but it's therefore a world that still has judgment looming over it. Because it's a world that's not fixed. It's a world that's still crossing God's boundaries in different ways. And so there's Noah's situation. He stands in a new creation. It sounds like it's going to be a world that's no Eden, it's no paradise, it's still wicked. But here's the thing, into that world, God makes him a promise or a covenant. So look at chapter 9, verse 11. Well, we pick it up in verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. And then what is that covenant, verse 11? I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth.
We came across this word covenant a couple of weeks ago as well. And I think you just mentioned it there. So covenant is just a promise, right? Is that?
Yeah, that's right. It's a binding agreement between two or more parties, you know, which we see all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so like a marriage.
Yeah, a marriage is a covenant, or in a slightly different way, but like a broadband contract is a covenant.
Same level.
Well, yeah. Let's not go there.
Terms and conditions.
Terms and conditions, right. Yeah. But you've entered into a binding agreement, promises, and there's kind of consequences in that sense. And so that's what's going on here, you see. God is covenanting, he's committing himself to something. But interestingly here, it's a one-sided covenant. And that's quite important, particularly when we travel through the Bible and we get to the gospel in some ways. It's all God. God makes it. You notice the language, verse 9, I now establish my covenant with you. Verse 11, I establish my covenant. It's all God, it's his initiative. And it's unconditional. So he doesn't ask Noah to do anything. He just says, Noah, this is the case. This is what I'm going to do. And it's never ending, if you notice that as well. Verse 11, never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. So this is an unending covenant that God makes with his people. Yeah. And so the key thing is, you know, what is this promise that Noah makes? You remember Noah's standing in a new creation. He's come through judgment. It's far from Eden. So what is this promise? Well, he says, verse 11, look carefully there. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the whole world. And that's got to be good news, isn't it, for someone like Noah? If you think about it, Noah and his family, they've come through a big deal. They know now what God thinks of wickedness. They're left in no uncertain terms. And these are words that you'd want to hear. Safety. Safety from this kind of judgment. Falling on the earth again. God promises, he commits himself to this world. And then, and we're getting there, please be patient, then God gives them a sign of the promise that he's just made them.
Yeah. So, yeah, the rainbow is a sign of this promise. Yeah. And I guess, again, this is another thing that keeps emerging again and again as you read through the scriptures, is that often a covenant or a promise that God's made is accompanied by signs. There's probably lots we can think of, but often the Israelites would build, kind of put lots of stones together as a one way of remembering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously got the sign of circumcision that runs through the whole Old Testament.
Yeah, and promises are they often have signs, don't they? You know, to think of marriage, you know, here's my wedding ring, you know, that's a sign. It's a sign of a covenant. It's not the covenant. It's just a sign, a symbol of the covenant in that sense. Yeah. And you know, God gives Noah a sign here. So look at chapter 9, verse 12 with me. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant, of the promise I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you." And in verse 13, "I have set my rainbow," or literally the word is actually, in the Hebrew, the word bow. So it's the same word they would have used for a warrior's bow, you know, sort of the firing of an arrow. It literally is a bow. And he gives them this sign in the sky. And it's significant, isn't it? Because when the clouds start to fall, you know, when the storm is brewing, when you're expecting the rains to kind of lash the earth, into this storm, God puts a sign that he would not flood the world again. And I guess one of the things you want to say, well, who is the sign for? Now, I think the text of chapter 9, presumes the sign is for Noah and his descendants. That's why God's doing it. But interestingly, the language says that that God looks at the sign. I don't know if you picked that up there, but there's lots of, you know, I will bring it out. Verse 15, I will remember my covenant. Verse 16, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant. The rainbow absolutely means something for Noah, but it also means something for God. And so, if you're still with me, okay, I know we've gone on a journey, but it's important to get the story. We're trying to answer the question, what did the rainbow mean to Noah? That's what you want to ask with a Bible story. What did it mean to him? And the reality is, it meant reassurance. It reassured Noah of God's promise to him and to creation. When Noah looked up at the sky, when a storm was brewing and the rains were falling, having lived through a mighty storm and a great flooding, Noah didn't look up into the sky and clap for the NHS. You know, Noah didn't look up into the sky and be caused to think about, you know, people's sexual orientation. Actually, what Noah looked up into the sky and remembered was God's promise. When the rain started to fall, Noah was reassured that God would keep, he would see this sign, and he would keep his promise to never again flood the whole world, to destroy all life, even though they're wicked.
So when Noah looks at the rainbow, he's going to remember that whole story.
Yeah.
He's going to be reassured that God is going to keep his promise not to do the same again.
Yeah.
So when, what about us then? So when we look at that, is that all, is that the same, just the same, or is there kind of more to it? Or,
well, I think we start there, you know. Yeah. So if that's what Noah thought about when he saw the rainbow, then that's exactly what we should think about too. You know, apart from going wow, because rainbows are often pretty spectacular, aren't they, when you see them in the sky, actually it should reassure us that God makes and keeps promises. The promise, you know, thousands of years ago, this is really important, this is history. Thousands of years ago, God made a promise to Noah that he would never flood the whole world again because of its wickedness. He would never wipe out the world with a flood. Now, thousands of years on, God has kept that promise. He truly has. Now, yes, there's been localized floods that have caused great devastation, but there has never since those days of Noah been a universal worldwide flood. Even though God sees that the human heart is wicked, chapter 8, verse 21, you know, look back there. Never again, he says, well, I curse the ground because of humans, even though Every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. God sees that, but he's kept this promise. Even though the world is still cursed, we live under a curse, it's far from paradise. God has not sent a flood. And so, as I look up in the sky and see a rainbow, what does God want me to think? God has kept that promise. You know, he has kept this promise. I'm reassured. But it reassures me not just that he's kept that promise, but as I look in it, I think, wow, God is a God who makes and keeps promises. That's what the rainbow speaks to us. You know, and God has made us today many promises. Those of us who are trusting Jesus have many promises from God to be trusted.
There'll be some watching this evening who kind of served on camps as well. There's that song that's so catchy. I don't know if you remember it. I'll have to sing it now. It goes something like, you know, the rainbow's in the sky to show God's promises are true. There's a song we sing with the kids, but it's just brilliant because it is that, isn't it?
It's exactly the point.
Yeah, God keeps his promises.
Yeah. And so when the rainbow pings up in the sky, the knee-jerk reaction, it would have been Noah's knee-jerk reaction, our knee-jerk reaction should actually be, yeah, God keeps his promises. That's what he does. He makes promises and keeps promises, especially when it comes to the subject of judgment. And actually, God makes promises to us, doesn't he? Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a statement. But it's also a promise, you know, that we can trust that those who are trusting Jesus will not face condemnation. That's a promise. In the Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus is taking the Lord's Supper, he says there, this is the blood of the covenant, or my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. There's a promise embedded in that. You know, God has made a promise that our sins are forgiven if we trust Jesus. John 3:16 is a promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not, there's the promise, will not perish, but have eternal life. Can we trust those promises? The rainbow says, yeah. God makes and keeps promises. And he's promised us, you know, he's promised us that judgment will not fall on those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be reassured of that promise every time we see a rainbow. So the rainbow reassures me. It reassures me, just as it reassured Noah, that God makes and keeps promises even thousands of years on.
Yeah. So, you know, rainbow reminds us of the promises God's made. And I guess you mentioned already the words of Jesus about this new covenant.
Yeah.
And covenants often have signs that go with them. So maybe just talk a little bit about that. So with the new covenant for us in Jesus, kind of the signs that are attached to it and the importance of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So God gave Noah a sign because it just helped Noah to remember the promise. So the rainbow wasn't the promise. The rainbow just pointed Noah to the promise. And the Lord Jesus left us with signs, you know, things to remind us of his promises. So we take the Lord's Supper together. That's a sign. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's a sign of the covenant. Our baptism's considered a sign of the covenant. And these signs remind us of the promises that God has made to us. And they're a means of grace to us, really. That's what our forefathers would call them. They do us good because they remind us of what's true.
Yeah. I guess we really miss doing some of those signs. I mean, we've still been able to, in some ways, to remember the Lord's Supper together, which has been precious times. But I guess we all miss that physical gathering and doing it together. So I guess, you know, when would these kind of signs be helpful? Or, you know, particularly, I mean, the Lord Jesus in his kindness told us to do it regularly, didn't he?
Yeah.
To remember this regularly. When would they be particularly helpful to see that sign and to remember?
Well, again, just try and live in Noah's world for a moment. You know, when would Noah have been particularly comforted or helped to see that sign in the sky? And I think then if you can get into Noah's world a bit, you start to think, well, when are signs helpful to me? And, you know, for Noah, it may have been that he had times of particular doubt. You know, maybe the world was increasing in its wickedness and, you know, the rain starts to fall. And Noah was thinking, oh, man, like, we're in trouble again. Should I start building another boat? And in these moments of doubt, he would remember, a sign would help him to remember, no, God promised. God promised he's not going to wipe out the whole world with a flood. And it helped him to remember those promises in his doubts. And I think in times of doubt, a sign is a precious thing to us, isn't it? There's lots of things that cause us to doubt whether God loves us. Perhaps we doubt God's hearing of us, doubt God's forgiveness of us. There's all sorts of things that can cause doubts in the Christian life. And the signs are there to help us remember God's promises and say, no, it's okay. I've promised, you know, I've promised you're forgiven. I've promised you're safe for the new creation. I promise you won't be judged. And so signs are helpful for that. And I guess in that regard as well, when I'm struggling with particular sins in my life, struggling, wrestling them out, I'm tempted, I think, there to, again, maybe doubt God or think, you know, doubt my salvation. And again, in those moments when I'm struggling with sins, signs, you know, taking of the Lord's Supper are just, for example, signs of assurance, reassurance, that speak a word to us, a visible word. We're very visual people. And so God hasn't left us without visual things. You know, lots of our, you know, Christian life is by faith, isn't it? Things we can't see. But we should celebrate the things he's left us that we can see.
And that's why, you know, the Lord's Supper, because it's visual, but it, you know, you taste, you're acting, you're moving. Yeah, it's absolutely very, to help us to remember.
Yeah. And like I say, you know, our Christian forefathers often referred to the what they call the sacraments as a means of grace. And it is, isn't it? You know, that it is a means of grace. You know, that it just reassures us. They're just signs, so they don't do anything in themselves, except they're a sign to the reality. Yeah. Christ died for my sins on a cross. Yeah. So that's the first word.
Word number one.
Reassurance. Yeah. So as I see the rainbow in the sky, God's promises are true. God makes and keeps promises, especially around the subject of judgment. Yeah. That's what we should be sure about. Second word is the word rescue. Now, I'm aware there's a bit of crossover here, but let me try and explain why I picked this as a second word. So when I see the rainbow, I guess for Noah, it would have been hard not just to think of God's promise, but not to remember the whole story, the whole of his story. And for Noah, that kind of falls into four words, doesn't it? And so here's the word: sin, judgment, rescue, new creation. Four words that Noah would have remembered. You know, he would have remembered, hey, the world was pretty wicked, and God was very grieved by the world, and in his right anger with a world that's constantly stepping over his boundaries, he judged the world, and then in his kindness to me, he rescued me. He told me to build a boat, he rescued my family, he brought me through that judgment, and he's brought me into a new world, a new creation. And that's the Noah story, rescued by his grace. And I think everyone who lived after Noah, you know, at least in the immediate, I mean, Noah lived on for another, I don't know, 300 years or something, I think it was, and 150 years, sorry, I think.
350
years, yeah, I thought it was 300. He lived on for 350 years after the flood. So that's a lot of people he gets to tell the story to. And so a lot of people would have remembered the story as a whole, not just, oh, look, there's God's promise not to flood the world, but this story of sin, judgment, rescue, new creation. And so we talked about Noah at the start as a man who's comfort in the curse. And the Noah story does comfort us in the curse, doesn't it? In God's grace, the Noah story proclaims to us that there is a way to escape judgment as we walk with God.
So when we look at the rainbow then, so we can still kind of reap the same kind of reassurance.
Absolutely.
As Noah
did. Yeah.
But also, I guess what you're saying is we can also remember our rescue, not only Noah's, but also kind of leaning forward to rescuing the Lord Jesus.
Absolutely. When we see a rainbow in the sky, particularly for those of us who are churched, who's not going to think of the Noah story? And actually, we're meant to, as we live in the curse, we're actually meant to see that there's comfort in the Noah story. So as the rains fall, we see this beautiful rainbow. I remember, wow, God keeps his promises. But I also am meant to remember the whole Noah story. And what it declares to us is rescue. There is rescue. As I live under the curse, it speaks a word. It speaks a message that there is rescue from judgment. And that's because the Noah story, you see, then points us to the greater Noah story, the greater rescue story that we're part of today. And it points us to that story. So remember those four words: sin, judgment, rescue, new creation. Because that's really the story we're part of, the Jesus story. So sin, we live in a world right now where wickedness is spreading, where all of us in our own ways have transgressed, stepped over God's boundaries. And therefore, God has said over this world in which we live, it is a world that will be judged. It's a world that deserves judgment. Not with a flood, because he's promised he won't do it with a flood, but there is judgment coming on the day the Lord Jesus returns. But in his kindness, there's a way to be rescued. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be rescued from that judgment to come. And then, as we're rescued, he promises that we'll be kind of brought through the judgment to a new creation. And so that's really the story that we're seeing here. And every time I see a rainbow and I remember the Noah story, it should remind me that I am equally part of that story today, that rescue story, the Jesus story. So when I see a rainbow, I should think, rescue. That's what it declares to me, that there is a rescue story going on. Sin, judgment, rescue, new creation.
Yeah. And we've come to a couple of times, but it's worth just revisiting kind of 2 Peter 3, because Peter, as he's writing, he kind of uses the Noah story just to, you know, do what you've just said, basically, kind of say, look, it's the same as us.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a good example. So when Peter, the Apostle Peter, he would have seen the rainbow in the sky. He would have had, as a boy upwards, as a Jewish boy, he would have had the Noah story preached to him. And so he draws the parallels. When Peter sees a rainbow in the sky, he says, oh man, you've got to remember, actually, this is just like our story. The Noah story is just like ours. And so listen to what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, the days before judgment, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires, doing what they want. They will say, ha, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. It happened back in Noah's day, he says. But by the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. So there's the parallel. When I see the rainbow and I think of the Noah story, it reminds me I'm slap bang in the middle of exactly the same kind of story. Judgment's coming. There's a way to be saved. God's patiently delaying that day of judgment so that people can be saved today.
Yeah, thank you for helping us to see that. Just aware of time, probably need to start wrapping it up. Anything else? So as we look at the rainbow, you've helped us to see the reassurance and rescue. You know, what impact, what difference should it have on us now? You know, tomorrow, if we see a rainbow in the sky, what impact should it have on us? What might we do, with that?
I think, you know, personally, if I see a rainbow, it should really drive us to want to share with people the way that they can be saved. You know, actually, it's when you see a rainbow and you're reminded of the Noah story, we're reminded today that we're slap bang in the middle of a story where judgment's coming. And actually, the rainbow should move me to want to tell people, get on the boat. You know, obviously not a physical boat, but come trust Jesus. Jesus is the way to be saved from judgment to come. And so actually, when we see a rainbow, it should drive us to share our faith.
And that, but, and just that's, yeah, that's really helpful in the sense of, you know, God's given us a visual aid in the sky.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I confess, you know, I'll probably, you know, when I see that, I've spoken to my kids about it, but actually haven't necessarily been like, hey, you know, neighbour, yeah, or whatever. You see that? That's a sign for us that God, yeah, is, yeah, faithful to his promises.
Yeah. And actually, interestingly, when there is a rainbow in the sky, there's often a little crowd comes out of their, yeah, house.
Oh, look, do you see the rainbow?
Yeah, yeah, because everyone wants to see the rainbow because, yeah, it's such a beautiful thing. And I think in, you know, in those moments, we've got great kind of opportunities to say to people, hey, you know, actually, this reminds us of a story which is like another story we're part of now. And so, yeah, aware of time, just let me throw out one more thing, yeah, actually, thanks. Comfort as well. You remember we started by saying the Noah story is a comfort story. And actually, when I see the rainbow and I remember the Noah story, it should comfort me that actually there is a way through judgment to new creation by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so be assured, take comfort. There is a rescue, and we're part of that rescue story.
There you go. So I think reclaimed the rainbow, is that right? Although, yeah, not that
it's ever, yeah, lost it, really. But, yeah, what are we meant to think? That's probably the way to put it, isn't it? What are we meant to think when we see the rainbow? Reassurance. Be absolutely assured that God makes and keeps promises, especially about judgment. And remember, there's a rescue. We're part of that rescue story. We want other people to be part of that rescue story too. Sin, judgment, rescue, new creation. That's the story that the rainbow declares to us.
Yeah. That's great. No, thank you for helping us to see that. In a minute, I'll ask you to respond in prayer for us, if, yeah, that's okay. And then after Nate's done that, we're going to have another pre-recorded video of the Fennings, who are going to lead us in prayers for some other things. But Nath, please lead us in prayer.
Yeah, let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you. Thank you for your promises to us. Thank you for this promise you made to Noah all those years ago, thousands of years ago, that you would never again destroy all life with a flood. Father, you've been faithful to that promise. And every time we see a rainbow in the sky, we're reminded of your faithfulness. And Father, as you put that sign in the sky of your faithfulness for us, a reminder of that particular promise, we thank you that there are other promises that you have made to us, promises that we're clinging on to. And Father, you are faithful to those promises too, and we want to thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Please reassure us of your promises to us. Reassure us that Jesus died for our sins. Everyone has been paid for. Reassure us, Father, in times of doubt that Jesus is coming again. Father, in these days where things are tough, Lord, reassure us that that you are a God who makes and keeps promises, especially about judgment, and that we can be safe because of Jesus. Father, please, would in your grace, you even put a rainbow in the sky this week. That reminds us of your goodness and your faithfulness to us. And Father, as we see that rainbow as well, please may we be comforted that there is a rescue story we're going on right now. Lord, you are gathering people into the ark, the safety of Jesus Christ, to pass through that judgment that is to come still upon the earth. And we ask, please, that there would be many, even in these weeks, months ahead, who are gathered into Christ, into the ark, into our place of safety, and brought through judgment to the new creation. Father, thank you that in your love and mercy you have gathered many of us into that ark, and we are safe. And please reassure us of that this week. Father, please hear us as we continue to pray now. In Jesus' name, amen.